Amen. You may be seated. And what I was thinking there as we caught the line, reaching the most defiled. If we're not careful, we'll think, well, though that was them, or that was them, or that was him. See, but when we get closer to the Lord, we realize that was all of us. We were all the most defiled. It's not like you were more of a sinner than me. No, we all were sinners, and we sinned because of that. But when we grab a hold of that, that will mean that much more. So, King's Kids Track Club, you are dismissed. Have some fun. Remember, King's Kids will be outside tonight, the coolest night we probably had yet. And then the track club will be in the King's Kids classroom. We're going to switch it up a little bit tonight. Pharaoh, make it quick. No, I'm just kidding. Nah, I'm just kidding. He just lied to us in church. Help him, Lord. Amen. Just kidding. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. The baby, he is a little better, about the same, but I think we have figured out the issue, and he has got a very minor procedure on Monday. I'm not sure what time yet, or if we know what time. I haven't been told that by Carrie yet. We believe he's got a lip tie, which is causing when he does eat. He is, and now obviously he's eating good. You look at him, he weighs 12 pounds. But along with the milk he's taking in a lot of excess air.
Same thing.
And Mike Carey's been talking to some other mamas with the same thing. And they say, and I've researched it, that they intake a lot of air, which leads to stomach pain and gas. And that's exactly what he's going through. So you pray for Onyx on Monday at some point. And when I find out the time, if I don't let you know, ask me like you just did, and that way we can all be praying for him. It's a very minor procedure. Amen. Well, I hope he doesn't either. Yeah, just a little snip. But it's amazing how that right there, if what I've been told is true, could fix the whole problem. Then Carrie will get to sleep. And I'm up when needed. I don't have the necessary equipment to meet the needs of little guys. So Mama's up with him most of the time. But you pray for that on Monday. That is the issue. but thank you, Brother Howard. And we'll remember to put that on the prayer list here in a little while. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, let's go back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. And I changed my title slide because once I saw it on the big screen, I did not like my last one at all. But it's the same title. We need you, as we tonight are going back through and looking at the armor of God and putting it in a practical manner where that we can apply it to our lives. Over the past few days, I have been thinking about this text and looking at it. So many times I have known the truth we're about to look at, known the facts, known the information, but I've not put on the armor. And if we were all honest with ourselves, we've probably done that. We know the facts, but we don't put it to use. It's not that we don't want to, but we don't think to. And then when we get in the heat of battle, we're standing in the battle with no armor on. And I can attest, every time I've ever done that, I have lost. And there have been more times than I would like to admit where that was the case. When all along I had the armor that I needed, all I had to do was ask God to put it on me. And so tonight I want us to do more than hear the information. But I want us, myself included, and I've tried to make it a point, and you will hear it in my prayer even tonight, every time I pray, to ask God to clothe me in his armor. Because right now, as I speak to you, I mean, I may not see the enemy, but I'm fighting a battle. And when you leave this place, that's exactly what you're going to be doing. You may not realize. You say, well, I'm just going home and getting into bed. That Satan never slumbers nor sleeps. He wants us to let our guard down. He wants us to take our armor off. And you see, it's not just a one-time thing where we say, Lord, clothe me with your armor, and then we're good for the rest of our life. Needs to be an active and consistent and faithful request to ask him to put his armor on us. So let's read our text, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, or 10 through 18, sorry. The Bible says, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, or because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. I come before you now, asking you to do the very thing that we just read. I pray, Lord, that you would clothe me and clothe every believer in this building and on this premises tonight. Please clothe us in your armor, because Lord, it is the only way we will be protected from the attacks of the devil. Nothing we can do within ourselves can fight the attacks off. Only putting your armor on us and allowing you to fight for us is what will protect us. Lord, please help us to do more from now on than just know the information, but to apply the truth. Please, Lord, help me. Please protect me now, empower me now, control me now, enable me to rightly divide the truth of your word from this very, very helpful and needful passage of Scripture. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first thing we see, I'm not going to dig deeply into it again, but we see in verses 11 and 12, remember we looked at Satan and first his cohorts, because we know our enemy is not any man on planet Earth, be that someone we don't like or someone who is trying to usurp us or hurt us or badmouth us. They are not the enemy. Now, the devil wants us to think that so that we will be mad at them, and that soul that needs Jesus, if we are unhappy at them for anything other than maybe they spoke against God. Now, like righteous anger, that's different, but he wants us to get mad at them and lose the opportunity to be a witness to them. Our true enemy is the devil. We see in our passage of Scripture, we see his cohorts in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So that's his cohorts, and we looked at his chicanery, his clever deception and attacks, and we looked at that as we looked at the churches in the book of Revelation: Ephesus, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Laodicea, walking through the progression, getting us to Laodicea, the dead church. So that's the enemy. The enemy is the devil. The enemy is all that he has to attack us with, and he's not pulling any punches. It's not like, well, they've had a rough day today, so I'm going to take it easy on them. It's actually just the opposite. You have a bad day, that's when he wants to attack you the most. And that's when we need to put the armor on the most. And if we're not careful, that's when we think to do it the least. And that's why we need to keep that consistently on our mind and in our prayers, so that when we do get in the heat of battle, it's our reaction to ask him to clothe us, because we've been doing that all day, every day. But we see the enemy. But now we see the equipment in verse number 2. But before that, and I don't have it on here or in my outline here, but I want to point out in verse number 13, the evil day. I guess you could put this as number 2. The evil day. And then when you see the equipment, that could be number 3, and the energizer, that could be number 4. But look what it says. It says in our text, verse 13, "Wherefore, because of this, because of who we're fighting against, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." The evil day. When is that? Is that some big day in the future where we're going to have a major battle with the devil? There may be a day in our future where we do have a bigger attack from the devil. But honestly, I believe the evil day is every day. I believe, you know why? Because the evil day ultimately is when Satan attacks us. And Satan is attacking us every single day. So the evil day is every day, and that's why we've got to be so persistent to beg God to put the armor upon us, because the evil day is now. The evil day is when you get home. The evil day is when you wake up. The evil day is when you go to work. The evil day is when you leave work. The evil day is when you get home. Well, I'm just home with my family. That's the evil day, because the devil wants to attack you no matter where you're at or what you're doing. Don't think that because you're in a situation where you're safe, or you're away from temptation, or you're not in a place where you feel like you're going to be attacked, that you're okay and you can take your guard down. That's what the devil wants you to do. The evil day is every day. Now, there may be, like I said, days where it's worse. But we need to understand he's going to attack us all day, every day, with all his might. So we see the evil day, but now we see the equipment. We know the evil day is here and it is coming. So it says, "Wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God." It says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God." What we're about to look at in the equipment, it's not, well, today I'm going to wear the helmet but not the breastplate. Or I'm going to wear the breastplate but not the shoes. Or I'm going to wear the belt but nothing else. If we don't have it all on, then that is exactly where the devil is going to hit us. We don't have the helmet of salvation, he's going to hit us with doubt. We don't have the breastplate of righteousness, he's going to attack us in the heart. We don't have the belt of truth, and all of it's going to fall apart. We have got to beg God as we walk down through these to enable us to put all of the armor of God on, because whatever part we're missing is where we will be attacked. Think about me going into a football game. I had enough head injuries as it was, and I had all the equipment on. I can't imagine going into a game missing my helmet or missing my shoulder pads or missing my cleats. How ineffective I would have been. We got to put it all on. So let's look at the equipment, and I'm going to try to leave hopefully plenty of time for prayer requests tonight. But the equipment. And when I think about the equipment tonight, I want to make it practical and not just a piece of armor, but how we can apply it and actually put it on. So the first thing we see here, putting on the armor of God, there must first be commitment. Commitment. Look what it says in verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So that obviously that means the scriptures, but I believe it also is applying to, as I think about commitment, our sincerity, our seriousness, our commitment, or our realization of what we are in the fight we're in. See, the devil wants us to think that we're not in a fight, that this is just a cool scripture that you do in Bible school, and somebody walks in and puts on a helmet and a breastplate and a belt and some cool and funny looking shoes, and it's a cool story and the kids remember it. That's what the devil wants. He doesn't want us to be wholeheartedly in the battle, realizing how serious it is, because he knows if we are, we will be properly clothed, and if we are, we will be able to fight him. We've got to be fully committed. That commitment we cannot muster up within ourselves. We've got to beg God. When we say, "Lord, put your whole armor on me." No, when you're saying that, you're saying, "Lord, give me the commitment I need to fight this battle the way you want me to." We've got to be fully committed. But not only must there be commitment, but there must be cognizance. What I mean by that, understanding. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So we talked about that means sincerity, but also we know the truth is the scriptures. And when we think about an actual battle armor or anybody with their clothing, a belt's pretty important, isn't it? There are some young men in our world today that I wish they would wear one. I really do. Me being the size that I am, I don't need to wear one all the time because everything's tight anyways. But a belt is what holds everything together. Imagine someone going into battle. See, the belt at this time in the Roman armor was literally the piece that held it all together. Without the belt, you're running into battle, I guess you could literally say, with your pants down. You're going into battle and you're not going to be able to fight. Imagine somebody going into battle holding their pants up. Now, I've seen people in different scenarios trying to run, like guys I was in school with who didn't wear belts and their pants was baggy, and one of them might have been Josh Vaught back in the day, and I'm just kidding. No, it wasn't that I remember. But they would be running to class and their pants would be falling down and they'd be holding their pants up because they didn't have a belt on. It's hard to function without the key piece holding it all together. And the key piece that holds it all together for us spiritually is the Bible. But not just the Bible. If all you have is a copy of the Scriptures, but you don't understand it, you're not putting on the belt of truth. Now, I'm not saying that you need to overnight understand it all, or you're not putting on the belt of truth. I'm not saying that, but we should have a desire. That's why it's so important that we get in the Bible. Because understanding the truth is what holds it all together. I listened to one man talk about, and I sent it to Josh and Brother Chris, a video about how to teach young men to develop Bible study habits. He said the key to getting them to desire and burden to study the Bible is to help them understand that without Bible study in their life as a child of God, you will die. You may think, well, you're physically going to die. Maybe not necessarily, but if you don't get in your Bible, you don't get the Bible in you, you're not going to live the Christian life, and before long, you're going to lose your testimony. You're going to lose everything that you have that God wants to use. It's life or death. And until we realize how important it is that we get in our Bible, we're not going to put on the belt of truth, and the whole armor is not going to be able to be held together. We need to beg God to help us understand how serious it is that we get in this book and that we strive to understand it. And when we strive by God's grace to understand it and ask Him to expound it to us and so that we can apply it to our lives, and we'll talk about that in a minute, we're putting on the belt of truth, which holds it all together. And spoiler alert, every piece that we're going to talk about involves the Scriptures. If we don't understand the Scriptures, every other piece of armor we're not going to be able to put it on. That's why the truth is so important. That's why understanding the truth. So there must be commitment. There must be cognizance. Then there must be compliance or obedience. Verse 14 again. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, we can't obey the word until we understand the word. That's why so many Christians today don't have the breastplate of righteousness on, because they don't understand it, because they don't have the belt of truth. But when by God's grace He begins to help you understand the Word of God, you're putting on the belt of truth. And as you understand the Word of God, you understand what He wants you to do. And you, by God's grace, ask Him to empower you to do it. Then you put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate protects what? The heart. See, the way to protect our heart spiritually is to be obedient to the commands of God. But we can't be obedient until we understand. So that's why the belt of truth is so important. When we put on the belt of truth, then we can put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we will also, verse 15, we will be centered. We will be focused. There will be something, no matter what we do, that is the center of our attention and what we're standing on. We see in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You can't understand and know the gospel or know how to share the gospel until you know the word. See, the belt of truth leads to the breastplate of righteousness, leads to the gospel shoes. See, that's what I love about Mountain City Baptist. So many churches do good things and they have fun with their people. But what needs to be at the center of what we do is the gospel. That way, if the enemy comes knocking and begins to attack as we're doing that or we're doing anything, we can stand firm because we're standing on the gospel. But we can't stand on the gospel unless we know this book, unless we preach this book, unless we focus this book, focus upon this book. You see the progression that we've got to stand. That must be centered on the gospel. And when there is commitment and cognizance and compliance and we are centered on the gospel, then there will be confidence. Verse 16 and 17, confidence on two things. First, confidence in his precepts. Look what it says. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, or of the wicked. See, if you don't know the truth, you don't understand the precepts, you cannot have faith in those precepts. See, what you do when you get in the heat of battle, if you by God's grace have done what you're supposed to do, and you hide his word in your heart, and you understand the truth, and the devil begins to attack you in that area, you get in the heat of battle, and you throw up that shield of faith and say, God, this is what your word says, and I'm going to believe your word on that and hide behind that shield and trust you to be faithful to say what you said you were going to do. See, but we got to know the word before we can believe and trust and hope in what it says. See, the devil, that's why the devil, he is cool with biblically illiterate filled churches, because he knows if they don't have the belt of truth, they don't have anything else on. But when we put on the belt of truth and we understand the word, and we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we stand on the gospel, we have confidence in what he says. This is always the easiest one for me to go to, but say you have financial hardships and stuff gets tough, and the devil begins to attack you in that area and try to get in your mind and cause you to worry and fear. That's when you throw up the shield of faith and say, God, your word says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Bible says that you will meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. You throw up that shield and say, this is what the Bible says, and this is what I'm going to believe. But you got to know the Bible. The devil wants you to be ignorant of the word. He wants us to not realize how serious it is that we get in our Bible. He wants us to realize, he doesn't want us to realize that it's life or death that we read our Bible or we don't. That we study the word or we don't. You say, well, I just don't have time to read my Bible. And I've said that before too. You're busy. So many things are going on. You're stressed out about all kinds of stuff. I don't have time to read it. What we need to realize, we need to get to the place where we realize, I've got to read it. We need to read it. We will die if we don't read it. That's how we need to look at it. I will die if I don't get in the Bible. We need to realize that's how serious it is. So we will have confidence in his precepts. Throw up the shield of faith. But also, when we know the Bible, we will have confidence in our pardon. I struggled with doubt in my younger years for so many years because I guess I knew the Bible, but I hadn't hid it in my heart. I wasn't hiding behind that shield of faith. But when you know the Word of God and the devil begins to attack you and try to make you doubt and fear, you could say, this is what the Bible says. And what I tell so many kids that get saved, I always take them to Romans 10:13. Say the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you do that? And they say, yeah, I did. Well, I say, the Bible says that if you did that, he did that. I tell them that so that when the devil begins to attack them and say, well, that you didn't really do it. You didn't feel the right way. You didn't say the right thing. That's not what the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when the devil comes knocking and attacking and bringing doubt to your mind like he has me so many times, put on that helmet of salvation and say, this is what the Bible says. I did that by God's grace, and he did that because that's what he promised he would do. Put on. And the key is the Bible. We know the truth. But we got to beg God to put it on us. Breaks my heart the times where I could have been victorious in my life. I knew the truth. I had the armor at my disposal, but I left it in the closet. I dishonored the Lord when all he wanted me to do was ask him to fight for me, to put the armor on me. See, we don't fight off the enemy. He does. We don't quench the fiery darts. He does. But we got to know the Bible, and we got to believe it, and we've got to cling to it and apply it. So confidence in his precepts, confidence in our pardon. And then there will be competency. And we see verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's an easy one to know. What we have to fight with is the Word. Why do you think the devil doesn't want us to have the belt of truth? If we don't have the belt of truth, then the sword of the Spirit does us no good. See, the sword of the Spirit, you've heard me say before, isn't a big, long, cool sword like you see in the movies. Like maybe you think of David taking Goliath's sword, big old sword, and chopping his head off. That's not what this picture's here. This picture is a little dagger that you are precisely attacking in a specific area. What that means is taking a specific verse and applying it to the situation you're in. You're struggling with doubt, a specific scripture that attacks the devil in that area. Struggling with worry, a scripture from the Word where you take the dagger of the Word and attack him with that. What did Jesus do? The devil, Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan, didn't respond as God would, but responded as we should. What did he say? It is written. He's showing us this is the only way you can fight is with the Word. It is paramount that we get in the Bible. Maybe that needs to be our prayer tonight, that God help us to realize how serious it is that we get in this book. Because when we do, and we beg God to put on the armor, he'll do it. And we'll finally be victorious like he wants us to be. So that's the equipment. But not only the enemy, then we talked about the evil day, and then the equipment, but then we see next the energizer. Remember, all we have right now, if we stop here, is the information. But how do we go from information to application? Verses 10 and verse 18, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, verse number 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, this power that we need comes from a person, which is the Lord. We have no power. But thank God, we're told right before Jesus left the earth, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's got all power, not us, him. So the devil wants us to try to go at it alone. And when we're not in our Bible, that's exactly what we'll do because we don't have the belt of truth on. And he's won before we start. But it comes from a person, and it's Jesus. And if we're going to apply it to our life, it requires that we constantly pray. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's key there, in the Spirit. You've heard me say before, we've got to pray so that we can pray. Sometimes when we first begin to pray, we're not praying in the Spirit. Sometimes we've got to pray so that we can pray in the Spirit. We've got to pray so that we can pray in a manner that gets a hold of God so that we can beg him to clothe us in the armor that is the only thing that will protect us in supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Perseverance, supplication, we've got to do it constantly. We've got to beg God every day, every time we think of it, Lord, clothe me in your armor. You say, well, I'm just going to the grocery store. You don't know what you're going to face. Lord, clothe me in your armor. Well, I'm just going to go have a fun day with my family. Lord, clothe me in your armor. You pray over your food. Lord, clothe me in your armor. You're just saying a little prayer before you go to bed. You say, well, I'm just going to sleep. How's the devil going to attack me? Lord, clothe me in your armor. Every time we pray, we need to be sure that we are protected because we can't see our enemy. But he's got a close eye on us. He's waiting on us to let our guard down. We need to get to the place where every time we pray, we're asking him to clothe us, protect us. Because the armor that we see here is the only thing that will. And we need each other in this. Remember the title of the message, We Need You. There may be days where some of us we're worried and we may be down and out. And we may not be feeling it, but that's when the other believers need to say, hey, you need to stick in there. You need to get in your Bible. You need to beg God to put that armor on you. We're on the battlefield together. Let's ask God to open our eyes to the war we're in and to the importance of His Word so that we can beg Him to clothe us in His armor so that we can fight. He wants us to live a victorious life, but the devil knows we can't if all we have is the truth, but we don't put on the armor. May God help us. May we beg Him to help us to put on the armor. And I praise the Lord, when we ask Him to, He will. He has for me. And my prayer sometimes is, Lord, I don't fully understand Your Word or what it means really to put Your armor on. But I say, Lord, don't let that stand in Your way of putting it on me. Because God, I need Your help and I need Your protection. And He has. He's been faithful. He's protected me. And in those moments, I've been victorious, not because of me, but because of Him. May the Lord help us. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, please help me, help us never again to go into any moment by Your grace without Your armor on. Lord, please help us. Lord, clothe me now in Your armor. The devil's heard what I've preached. He knows what we've heard. Clothe us in Your armor, the only thing that can protect us. Help us to hide behind the shield of faith and watch You work miracles and win victories. Lord Jesus, I love You. I pray, Lord, You'd forgive me for the times where I didn't put Your armor on and I committed sins. Please forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And please help us now to realize how serious it is and how helpless we are apart from being clothed in Your armor. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.